Where do the Lions rank in the first ESPN NFL Football Power Index? Might not be where you think. It's a Monday. Locked On Lions.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's good, everybody? Matt Derry with you. It is another episode of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. A Monday, May 22nd and a Tuesday, May 23rd. Thanks for checking us out wherever you get your podcasts and watching us on our Locked On Lions YouTube channel where you can subscribe and watch for free each and every day. Follow us on Twitter at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, at Locked On Lions on Twitter, the Matt Derry Facebook fan page, again on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts. Shout out to the everydayers who are out there watching or listening each and every day. Saw a couple of them this weekend, including the great Anthony Pavicic and my guy Drew Nickel. Thanks, guys, for watching and supporting Locked On Lions. Locked On Lions today, by the way, is brought to you by our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. A lot to get into on Locked On Lions today. Yes, I mentioned before, the ESPN Football Power Index is out. NFL Analytics, ESPN's NFL Analytics Department, did a little power rankings to open the season here as we get ready for the 2023 campaign. Where do the Lions sit? You'd be surprised at how bad the NFC is, or maybe you wouldn't be. We'll get into that coming up momentarily. Organized team activities. Yes, OTAs begin this week, tomorrow in Allen Park, Tuesday through Thursday. And then those are, again, voluntary. Then next week, OTAs. But then we've got mandatory minicamp coming up the first week of June, I believe, or in a couple weeks. So we'll get into that. What spots are we looking at for OTAs that are going to be interesting to watch when it comes to positional battles? I have one I have my eye on. We'll get into that momentarily here on Locked On Lions as well. And two more examples this weekend of why the NFL is king and these other sports are lagging behind. I'm going to give you those examples coming up next as well, right here on Locked On Lions. Thanks to our folks, Scotty and the group at Questionable Tees, for this Lions hoodie. And we are off and running for a new week right here on Locked On Lions. All right, let's get to this first. I found this very, very interesting, and that is the ESPN NFL Football Power Index projections for 2023, and how do they rank each team? The initial ranking when it comes to the Football Power Index, the FPI, is ESPN's rating and projection model for NFL teams. They also go over win totals from Caesars Sportsbook, strength of schedule, factors, past team performance, returning starters, and all of that, and they put that all into a giant computer. Kansas City comes in at number one in the FPI Football Power Index, Buffalo at two, Philly at three, Bengals at four, 49ers fifth, Jets sixth with Aaron Rodgers. I find that to be way too high. Chargers at seven, Dallas at eight, Miami at nine, Baltimore at 10, and then the Lions at 11, followed by Jacksonville and Denver. So the first 13 teams, nine of the 13 are from the American Football Conference, the AFC. Only NFC teams in there are the Eagles at three, the Niners at five, the Cowboys at eight, and your Honolulu Blue and Silver Warriors, or the Detroit Lions, at number 11. So when I think about ranking all of the teams, and we've had many discussions about this, about are the Lions in the top three in the NFC? You know the big boys are at the top. We know it's Philly. We know it's San Francisco. The way they drafted, the way they've been built, how strong they are up front, both on the offensive and defensive lines, the depth that Philly has along the D-line. I know they took a little bit of a hit there, but they brought Brandon Graham back and others. And, of course, added Jalen Carter, et cetera. San Francisco, who's been so good up front for years and just dominant at the point of attack, especially along the offensive and defensive lines. And getting to the NFC Championship game last year with Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, at quarterback. But then you look at the rest of the NFC and you see all of these NFC teams, you know, at the bottom of these rankings. Cardinals 31, Bucks 30, Panthers 27, Falcons 26, Packers 25, Bears 24, Rams 23, Saints 22, Commanders 21. It's incredible. And these are all teams that the Lions are going to be playing this year. Right now, yes, Dallas is a team Detroit is going to be playing, and they are ranked three spots ahead of Detroit. Cowboys coming in at eighth in the Football Power Index with a grade of plus 3.0, and the Lions are at plus 1.4 based on the projection. Highest graded team, as I mentioned, was Kansas City at 6.4. Lowest graded was Houston at a minus 6.1. All right, so the median, I guess you could say, would be Seattle at 18, Cleveland at 17, etc. The teams in the minus: Pittsburgh, Las Vegas, Washington, New Orleans, LA Rams, Chicago, Green Bay, Atlanta, Carolina, Tennessee, Indy, Tampa, Arizona, and the Texans. Lions come in fourth in the NFC and 11th overall in all of football. Some people will say, some experts, some Lion fans, whatever, would say, wait a minute, how could you not put Detroit in the top 10? Who ahead of Detroit could you make an argument that the Lions should be leapfrogging? Well, number one is the Jets at six. I think that is very, very high for New York. I like the Jets draft, don't get me wrong. The addition of Aaron Rodgers. Remember last year when the Lions played the Jets, all right, they didn't have to face, Quinnen Williams, and they were going up against, one of the worst young quarterbacks in all of football. All right, now it's Aaron Rodgers' time in New York. But I don't think Aaron Rodgers is the same player. I think making the Jets a top six team is a bit of a stretch. The Chargers always are a splashy team. Eckler's a little bit upset about his contract. Justin Herbert is still there. He's a very, very good quarterback. And yes, he's a better quarterback than what we have here in Jared Goff. But I wouldn't put the Chargers ahead of the Lions either. Miami and Baltimore, I would. We watched what the Dolphins did to the Lions last year, especially defensively with that offense. And I think the Ravens are going to have a bounce back year. I think last year at the end of the season, with Lamar Jackson's injury, questions about the contract. The Ravens are always good. They're always well coached. They always win. And I think they've got more of a track record than the Lions. Detroit at 11, Jacksonville 12. I'm down with it. I see it. All right. The Lions are going to be much, much improved. And I understand some are already saying, 9.5 wins in Vegas. Our friends at FanDuel have 9.5 right now for the Lions for over-under. Too high. Lions are going to get back down to earth. I don't agree with that. Think about how bad the Lions defense was last year for the start of the season. Think about this team sitting at 1-6 and yours truly here on this podcast threatening to quit. They'll never get over the hump. They'll never win. Blah, blah, blah. It's the same crap. It's same mistakes. I don't like saying same old Lions, but you know what I mean. And yet, at the end of this season, this past season, this football team won 8 of its last 10 games and finished with a winning record. And still, look up and you say, all right, yeah, they've got Amon-Ra St. Brown. All right. Unbelievable weapon. Terrific player. Did he make a Pro Bowl? Did they have a dominant offensive player that was just an unbelievable weapon, like a Travis Kelce or a Jalen Hurts or anybody like that that was playing deep into the playoffs? No. Defensively, yes, Aiden Hutchinson came on. Players got better. Kirby Joseph, Mr. Owning of Aaron Rodgers. But there was no dominant Pro Bowl defensive player on this team. Jack Fox didn't have the kind of year that we expected. Lions still had to go through a cavalcade of kickers. This is a team that at one point last year had to put Dominic freaking Eberle on the field and cost them points. And yet they finished at 9-11. And yes, expectations have been raised. No question about it. The Lions right now are the favorites to win the NFC North. Minnesota, by the way, came in at 15. So they are four slots behind the Lions. But I love the fact that Detroit went into New York and beat Zach Wilson and the Jets, went into New York and beat Danny Dimes and the Giants, and had some quality road wins, something that Dan Campbell, of course, did not have his first year and a half into this thing. They couldn't win on the road. So Lions at 11, I'm buying it. I think it's accurate. Would I put them 9 or 10 and make an argument against the over the Jets and Chargers? I would. Yes, I would. I think that's kind of where they land. But again, part of my positioning with the Lions is how bad the NFC is and how soft the Lions' schedule is. It just is. I think the Lions' schedule is a lot easier than it was 2 years ago, for sure, and even last year to an extent. All right, we got OTAs coming up next we want to talk about. There's a positional positioning that I'm interested in seeing what the Lions' defensive coaches do. I'm giving it away, but we'll do that coming up next. Hey, no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel. If you want to bet on the NBA playoffs, which have been a snooze, Major League Baseball, whatever it is you want to bet on, you can do it at America's number one sports book, FanDuel. That's right, because right now, if you want to get to the NBA Finals, it's going to be later this week, Nuggets and Heat, probably even next week. FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on anything you want, money line, point spreads, all of it, all on an app that is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your shot at that no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Go to FanDuel.com/lockedon and sign up. You got to do it. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Beautiful Monday in the big city, the Motor City. Matt Derry with you, Locked On Lions, Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks to our everydayers, the folks that check out the show each and every day. Thanks for making us your first listen and watching or listening wherever you get your podcasts. Very exciting tomorrow through Thursday and then next Monday through Wednesday. Maybe it's next Wednesday through Friday. Not going to work on Memorial Day. The Lions will be holding OTAs down at 222 Rodwood Drive. Organized team activities where the Lions can actually do football, get out there together voluntarily. Organized team activities, part of the off-season plan. And what I'm interested in watching when you think about OTAs is the linebackers. If you've been listening to this podcast since I've been hosting it since 2016, I've always said, I have not seen the Lions have a guy at linebacker in many, many years that can go sideline to sideline, make a big impact, stop the run, make plays in the passing game in a long time. You know, like last year, Malcolm Rodriguez really came on during training camp in the preseason. He was solid. Alex Anzalone made some plays, especially late in the year. He got better as the season wore on. You know, you got to go back to like DeAndre Levy. Like Stephen Tulloch was a buddy of mine back in the day. Good football players, but there's no Micah. There haven't been any Micah Parsonses on this team. There haven't been any Levante Davids on this team. And again, some organizations really value linebacker play. The Bears overspent on not one but two free agent linebackers this offseason and let another one in Roquan Smith go when they traded him last year to Baltimore. But I'm interested in seeing, because the Lions have invested heavily in a linebacker this year, and that, of course, was the number 18 overall pick, Jack Campbell. How will they line up? What will the Lions be doing at the linebacker position during OTAs? Alex Anzalone signed a 3-year deal. Now, doesn't mean anything, but they like him. He's been with Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn since his days in New Orleans. He's going to be on the field in some capacity. He's the captain of the defense. They love the flowing locks, the blonde bombshell, the Gaines media poster boy, double A, Alex Anzalone. What about Rodrigo? The hero of Hard Knocks, last year's, you know, fifth, sixth round pick that just shined. They loved him. And toward the end of the year, not on the field as much. Snap count went down. Derek Barnes is now entering year 3 with the Lions. You know, one of the guys, Chris Spielman, has mentored. Will he take the next step? Will he be on the field? And then there's Jack Campbell. All right, now I'm not telling you Jalen Reeves-Maybin is going to play a lot of defense. He's mostly a special teamer. But those four guys, Anzalone, Rodrigo, Barnes, and Jack Campbell. Jack Campbell was drafted 18th to play. And I don't think he's going to be on the bench. But if the Lions are putting the eight likes of Aiden Hutchinson and James Houston and Charles Harris and Romeo Okwara and Aleem McNeil and Onwuzurike and Martin and all these guys out there, Kaminsky, they've got a deep pool of defensive linemen. So they're going to have four down linemen out there. They're also going to have five secondary members. They're going to have five defensive backs on the field. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's going to play. Emmanuel Mosley is going to play. Cam Sutton is going to be out there. Tracy Walker deeming himself back and ready. And then, of course, you got Kirby Joseph. So that leaves two linebacker spots and four guys fighting for him. And one of those guys in Jack Campbell was drafted in the first round. He's not going to sit. So I'm going to be interested in watching during OTAs how the Lions utilize their linebackers and who the odd man out is likely going to be. And I think first and foremost, it's likely going to be Malcolm Rodriguez. I think he's going to be a great special teamer. I think he'll help out, you know, in different situations defensively. But you have to figure with Campbell and Anzalone and Barnes, who really is better than Rodrigo in defending the pass, I'd be interested in watching how they deploy their linebackers and how they utilize all of these guys as they start OTAs next week. All right, when we come back here, NFL is king, and it's just, I saw some things this weekend in other sports that you just don't see in the National Football League. We will do that coming up next right here on a Monday, Locked On Lions. All right, so let's get into this. Two things happened in sports this weekend where it just cemented to me that the National Football League is healthy. They are running just a collision course to the bank. They're doing great, and people are into it. Number one, the NBA playoffs have been a complete dud. And don't get me wrong, I'm a big NBA fan. I host the Pistons podcast for the team. I like basketball. I watched last night's Heat-Celtics game, well, part of it. I will watch Lakers-Nuggets later tonight. But, man, the NBA playoffs have been a dud this year. We watched the proud Boston Celtics, the Leprechaun, the parquet floor, quit in a Game 3 last night and get blown out by like 30 points in a must-have Game 3 against Miami. Both conference finals are at 3-0. What series, outside of Sacramento and Golden State, what series do you recall in your head that you went, oh, man, I watched some great basketball in the playoffs this year? Can't even call it. Oh, Celtics Sixers went 7. Yeah, and then what happened in Game 7? Games 6 and 7 were both blowouts. There hasn't been that triple overtime thriller. There hasn't been that must-see TV. It's been a big dud, the NBA playoffs. And it's a reminder, too, that, man, the NFL just delivers. Teams don't quit playing an NFL playoff game. Look at Jacksonville's comeback last year as a prime example. The other example that I watched was last night's Guardians-Mets game. As you guys know, I'm a Cleveland baseball fan. All right, the Guardians' payroll is in the $80 million, $90 million range. They're going up against the Mets, whose payroll is $350 million. And the Guardians lost 2-1. The Mets got a good win. Verlander pitched well. Everybody knows. I mean, Verlander and Scherzer pitched on the same day for the Mets, and they won both games. They're both ends of the doubleheader. But with the pitch clock and with everything else going on, baseball feels like they're doing better. And ratings are up 10%. Attendance is up a little bit. Games are going two hours and 10 minutes to 2.5 hours. Down to from the usual 3 hours from the past few years. Guys are getting back in the box, and the game's moving quicker. But there's still a boredom factor with baseball. They're trying like crazy. Like last night, Sunday Night Baseball, and that Sunday Night broadcast with Carl Ravitch, and that's a horrible broadcast. It's really bad. That booth has no chemistry and no fun. It's boring. And they're trying like heck to promote Francisco Lindor. Francisco Lindor's in every Corona commercial. Francisco Lindor's mic'd up. Francisco Lindor's interviewed during the game. Francisco Lindor's interviewed after the game. Yes, he had homered off his former teammate, Shane Bieber. But you know what? Turn on any of these national shows, whether it's Colin Cowherd, whether it's Shannon and Skip, whether it's First Take, if you're into any of that stuff, no one talks baseball. Talking football in May, in June, in July, in February. All right? Baseball is trying like crazy to promote itself and promote some of their stars. It's not bad. But you just had a team last night, and Cleveland won the division last year, the AL Central, payroll in the 90s. And they're playing a team with a payroll of four times their own, with the Mets paying over $350 million in salaries. That's a broken sport. It's broken. And they're like, oh, Otani could be traded. Well, where could he go? Mets, Dodgers, Yankees. It's the same teams. Teams like Pittsburgh, here in Detroit, Colorado. Do those teams ever have a chance? But the NFL, it's a level playing field, man. Everybody's got a shot. Not just the big market teams. Kansas City's not a big market in the NFL, and they've been a juggernaut for years. Just making the point, man, NFL is king. All of these teams, sans probably the Texans and Cardinals that know they're rebuilding, but all these teams feel like they have a shot. So NFL, they know how to do it. They know how to do it. All right, we are back again tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Lions. We'll be here all week right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks for checking us out wherever you get your podcasts.